Luke 15, just the first two verses, and this is out of the Inclusive Translation. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus at table, at which the Pharisees... really, before Palm Sunday... And so the wilderness table may burst forth with palm next week. It may not be the same as it looks this week, but I've really appreciated folks who have brought things up to the table and have shared things on the table. Anyone's welcome to come up here and afterwards look at the table to see what people have brought that are symbols of wilderness in their life. And as I was thinking about this journey through the wilderness, I was thinking about Jesus' particular journey through the wilderness and what made Jesus' journey special. If you've read that big tome, the 500-page tome by John Dominic Crossan called The Historical Jesus, sort of the culmination of the third quest for the historical Jesus, you'll see that Jesus was not the only person wandering the hillsides of Palestine in the first century AD. There were a lot of other people who were wandering those hillsides with visions. Visions of social renewal, visions of healing, healers, baptizers. And it's interesting that John Dominic Crossan, after this exhaustive study of extra-biblical sources talking about the kinds of work that were being done by social prophets and bandits and revolutionaries in the first century AD, says the thing that made Jesus' story different is that Jesus developed a vision of good news along his journey that was different from the apocalyptic vision of people like John the Baptist, who believed that things were so messed up that God was going to come and just obliterate the whole thing and there would be a new start. Jesus' vision was different because Jesus, Crossan says, developed not only a good news of liberation, but it was a good news that was focused around three kind of principal loci, you could say. The first was the denial of blood family as priority. So we hear in the gospel, if you want to follow me, leave your father and mother and follow me. Or if you say that it's important to be a child of Abraham, these stones are just as important as children of Abraham. What's important is to be a child of God, not to be a child of Abraham. So the denial of the priority of blood family. The second, Crossan says, is interesting, is the idea of healing. And there are other healers at the time of Jesus, if we look into historical records that are not part of the Christian canon. But part of the difference about Jesus was that his healings were not simply physical healings, they're also social healings. So Jesus doesn't go heal somebody who has a broken arm, because having a broken arm in the ancient Near East doesn't make you an outcast of society. Jesus heals people who, because of their illness or the difficulty they're dealing with, have been pushed out of proper society and have been marginalized. So people who are impure because of, for example, an issue of blood or demon possession or leprosy, those people who have been pushed out, Jesus heals not simply to heal their physical body, but to show that there is good news that pulls people back into community, that there is healing that will reintegrate people with community. And the third mark that made Jesus different, Crossan says, is the idea of open commensality. It's kind of a different concept. But he says to those first followers from the peasant villages of Lower Galilee, Jesus asked them to repay his cures, giving them a simple solution. This is quoting from his book, The Historical Jesus. "You are all healers," he said. "So take the kingdom that is this world that we envision and that we believe God desires, this world of peace and right-wise relationships and power. Take this kingdom to others, for I am not its patron, and you are not its brokers." This is a new vision of the world in which there is no patron. There are no brokers. This is an anti-empire in which power is not consolidated at the top, but power belongs to all of us. that Jesus takes this vision out and says, you bring the healing. You make it available to anyone who wants it. You request a table in the villages you visit. You create that table. And if those people will accept you into their homes, they're creating a table for you, and there the gospel will be created. The good news will be actually lived out. It was a deliberate conjunction, Crossan says, of magic and meal, of healings and of common tables, of free compassion and open community. Jesus' vision was a challenge launched not just at the level of Judaism's strictest purity regulations or even on that of the Mediterranean's patriarchal combination of honor and shame, Crossan writes, or of patronage and clientage. But at the most basic level, Jesus' vision was a vision of deconstructing civilization's inclination to draw lines and to invoke boundaries and to establish hierarchies and to maintain distinctions. Jesus' revolution, Crossan claims, was centrally social rather than centrally political. It was a revolution at imagination's most dangerous depths, a revolution based on the conviction that every person actually matters. And so, in Crossan's vision, what makes Jesus different is Jesus and Jesus' disciples go out into the villages and they draw people together at table. It's interesting that in the Gospel of Luke, there are 19 examples of Jesus at table, sitting around a table, having conversation. And Joanna and I were talking about the centrality of eating in Luke's gospel the other day, because the good news is not preached most of the time in Luke from Jesus standing up in a pulpit like this, proclaiming it to others. It's shared around food. And there's this famous joke many of you may have heard, I'll be real quick, that, the kindergarten teacher says to people in the class, okay, I want you all to bring in something that's a symbol of your religious tradition. And so the first person comes forward and says, I'm Ben, I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David. She says, oh, thank you, very good. And the second person is called forward, and she says, I'm Mary, I'm Catholic, and this is a rosary. And the teacher says, oh, very good, that's awesome. And calls the next person forward, and the person comes forward. He says, I'm Tommy, I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole dish. Really, what do we agree on in these free churches? Churches like Congregationalist churches, UCC churches, Baptist churches, these free churches. The casserole dish is very important for us. Really? Because we don't agree on much sometimes. But when we're sitting around a table eating food, we say, hey, that's good food, right? And this is what Jesus is doing, going around the ancient Near East, gathering people around casserole dishes. What happens around a table? Is it around a table, do you listen to a lecture? You invite people over to your table for dinner, right? And one person dominates the conversation for 45 minutes lecturing and then says, okay, we're done. Is that how it works? Right? At table, things are different. At table, there's a hospitality going on. Hospice comes from the word guest. There's an appreciation of the guest. There's an appreciation of the other. There's not one person who dominates, but we're all looking at each other around the table. There's a passing of plates. There's laughing. There's funny stories, sometimes embarrassing stories. I know those have been shared around table in my house. Questions are being tossed around the table in order to make sure everyone is included, right? Around table, there's a sharing of histories. There's sometimes winking and nodding and head shaking and eyebrow raising, all of the things that we do when we're in conversation and in community with each other. Sometimes at my table, I've got a bunch of kids at my table, there's belching, there's glasses dropping, and there's food spilling, and it's okay around table. There's an uncovering of our common humanity. There's a bringing in that happens at table. There's a holding up that happens at table. There's an attention that happens at table that doesn't happen sometimes in gatherings like this. In Jesus' vision of what the good news was, we have to remember Jesus' vision is what birthed the church. And Jesus' vision is a vision of people around table. And around table, there's care. And around table, there's really democracy. Around table, there's voice. And around table, there's power. They all just happen at table. That's why table's so important. What is the real mission of the church? Is the mission of the church to change the world? Is that what Jesus was going around saying? Okay, let's all gather up our best ideas and go change the world. That was not Jesus' first message. Jesus' first message was, sit around a table, everybody. Everybody. Even you people who have been excluded from table, you're welcome at this table. Children are welcome at this table. Women are welcome at this table. People who have been excluded because of their physical condition are welcome at this table. The poor are welcome at my table. They're welcome. They need to be welcome at your table because they're no different than you. We're all in this together. Around table, everybody is equal and everybody has a say. The real mission of the church is not to first and foremost change the world. That's to put the cart before the horse. We change the world by being a community at table because that's Jesus' vision. First with one another, right here. And then we enlarge that table. There's a weird irony of the American church. If you look at the church and you look at what the church has done to communion, right? The communion, which is a celebration of table, has become a ritual that is guarded by brokers and distributed for the good of other people, which is a complete turnaround of the original idea of communion around table. So we have to use our imagination every time we come and we participate in this old ritual to recreate what table really is supposed to be. It's supposed to be for us, that we all have voice. I was having a conversation with Herb Hicks, who is our association sort of covenantal elder, on Friday, and he said, it's interesting, I've been in ministry 50 years. He pastors over at the Thornville Church. And he said, when I was first in ministry, I had 300, 400 people in my congregation every week. It was easy to have a big congregation because if you wanted to be a teacher in the community or a banker or a business person, you had to go to a church. That was the way it worked back then. He said, nowadays, the churches I pastor are small. I haven't pastored a church that's more than 50 people in maybe 15 years. And he said, but the church nowadays is more pure than the church I pastored when I was younger, because people really want to know each other. They really want to be in community. There's something really telling about that. We've been talking about the wilderness table during this series, the wilderness series. And we've been talking about the difficulties that we face in the wilderness. And many of the symbols on this table are symbols of difficulty. But what I want to leave you with today is that when Jesus is in the wilderness, journeying through it, he finds wilderness tables everywhere he goes. And those tables are not tables of difficulty and challenge and pain only. They're also tables of hope and inclusion and voice and power. And if we are the real church, insofar as we are the real church, we create a table where even in the middle of wilderness and difficulty and challenge and trial, there is real hope and real voice and real inclusion and real power for every single person around that table. We create a table that is an oasis in the wilderness. It's a table of hope. It's a table of grace. It's a table of healing, of peace and of joy and of love. And in our wildernesses, we need those tables. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a community that looks outside of our immediate surroundings and outside of the groups that we normally find ourselves in and normally pull around our tables. We're called here to be your ecclesia, your called out church. That invites other people to the table, people who we need to make sure feel some hospitality and care, to be a place where people can find their voice and can feel some power. Help us to be that people and help every church to be that kind of oasis in the wilderness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.